Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem. We're holding on daf Kuf Lamites and Beis. We're about to start the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Kuf Lamites Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored L'Zechus Rufu Shalema for Meir Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. So in the Mishnah yesterday, we learned some types of different types of straining, and the Gemara is going to elaborate on the different types of straining that appear in the Mishnah. Then we're going to talk about kneading mustard and other items, kneading with a K, lush of mustard and other items. Then the following Mishnah is going to discuss actions that are sometimes usser and sometimes mutter, even though they are very similar to each other. And then we're going to have a long section of bits of advice that first some derech eretz, and then like 13 bits of advice from Rav Chista, mostly for Bnei Torah, and other bits of advice. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to get into preparing food for animals on Shabbos. So let's begin. Kuf Lamites Amud Beis at the Gemara, right at the beginning of Kuf Lamites Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Amar Ziri, Nosna Demiayin Salul, Umayim Sulun Letoch HaMishmeres. A person is allowed to put clear wine and clear water into a strainer on Shabbos. Vein Achoshesh, you don't have to worry about the Yisur Borer, because they were ready to drink before you put it into the strainer. Aval Achurim, but if they were dirty and then you were straining out the dirt, and then lo, then you're not allowed to put it in the Mishmeres. So this is the discussion we had very briefly yesterday about the pour-over coffee, that if the liquid that you're pouring over, even though it's going through sediment or grinds or something, and it's coming out on the other end, it's drinkable, but it started drinkable also when you first poured it over. It wasn't initially mixed with anything, then it's going to be mutter. It's only if you're taking like some sort of dirty liquid and pouring it through a strainer and allowing the dirt to get caught in the strainer as the clear liquid comes through, only that is going to be problematic. So Meisvei asked the Gemara on Ziri, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Torei Radam Chavish Al Yayin, a person can mix a barrel of wine, Yeno Shmareha, with the wine and the sediment, Venosa Tokha Mashmeres, B'Shabbos, and then he can put it through the strainer on Shabbos, Veino Choshesh, and it's not Borer. So you see that even if the wine is not clear beforehand, it's going to be mutter. So Tirgum Abein Agito, Ziri Bein Agito Shanu. So Ziri says that's talking about when you're by the wine presses, when you're in the season of the year, that you're pressing all the wine, so that was typical that people would drink yayin achurim as well. People would drink dirty wine as well at that point in time, so it was considered something edible even before it was strained out. Mesanis yayin besudrum, we said you could strain the wine using cloths. Amrav simin barchia bulvad shli asaguma, provided you don't make a hole in the middle of the sudar in order to have like a base kibble for the wine the way you would do on a weekday. You just pour it through the cloth, and then on its own it will the guma will happen. Ubekfifa mitzvus, and you're allowed to strain wine with a basket that's made from some types of reeds. So Amrav Chibarashi Amrav Ubavachli Agbia Mikarkiyiso Shakli Tefach. That's provided that you don't lift up the basket from a tefach off of the surface of the bottom kli, because if there's a chalal tefach between the bottom of the kfifa to the karka of the kli that it's going into, then it's an oel arai, and you're not allowed to make an oel arai on Shabbos. Amarav, hai peronka, if you have a beggar that you spread over a large vat of wine in order to cover it up, apalgid kuva, if you put it over half of the vat, shari, that's mutter to do, because that's not called an ohel. But akule kuva, to put it over the entire vat of wine, usr, that you're not allowed to do, because that's a violation of ohel. That's how Rashi learns. Tosos and the Rambam learn similarly, that the Gemara is talking about taking a beggar and putting it over a barrel in order to cover the barrel, and the reason for the Isser is Asiyas Ohel. This Shita understands that the Isser is only in a situation that the barrel is not full all the way to the edge, but there is a Chalal Tefach underneath it, and that's why it could be a violation of Asiyas Ohel. However, the Rishonim raises the question that, wait a second, there's an Isser to cover a Kli on Shabbos? We had learned way back on Daflam Vavim Beza, you're allowed to put a Kedera al Gabe Kira b'Shabbos, even though you're covering the Kira. So, and that's not a violation of Asiyas Chias Ohel for some reason. So they suggest, the Rishonim suggest, Tosos and others, that over here we're talking about a kuva. A kuva is a very, very wide kli. A regular kli that's not so wide is not a violation of covering it on Shabbos. But this comes into the issue of Asiyas Ohel because of the nature of this kli. Nevertheless, the Rashba, the Ritva, many other Rishonim are still not satisfied with that interpretation. They ask on Tosos. According to Tosos, the Gemara should have said the size of the kli that you're allowed to cover and the size that you're not allowed to cover. How could it not give a shear for what kind of kli is going to be a violation of a CSOL? Plus, if it's based on a CSOL, what difference does it make if you cover it entirely or you cover only part of it? Either way, you're making an OL. Furthermore, the Ritva says, it's not mistaber to say that you're not allowed to cover empty kelim on Shabbos. The minhag olam is everyone covers empty kelim on Shabbos. So therefore, the Rashba and the Ritva disagree. And they say there's no issur of covering a kli on Shabbos. Over here, the Gemara is talking about putting a beged on a kli in order to strain wine through the beged. And the reason is that it looks like you're being mishamer yayin b'mishmeres. It looks like it's an ovda d'chol. But if it's only over half of the opening of the barrel, then it's mutter, because that's not the way you would do something when you wanted to strain during the week, when you wanted to strain wine during the week. And that's the basis of our sugyas. That's a fundamental machlokas rishonim, just what the issue is over here. Amar papalon, hadiginish sin yasir b'pumi d'kuzni d'chavisa. A person should not attach straw and splinters at the opening of a kli cheres, of a small kli cheres, because mishum demechsi kimeshmeres, because it looks like you're making a strainer. Debei Rav Papa shafu shichrom imana lemana. But in Rav Papa's house, he used to pour beer from one kli to another in order that the sediment, that whatever psolas is in the beer, should remain behind in the other kli. So it was a way of purifying the beer. Amle Ravachmi diftel Ravina hikinitzotzos. But what are you going to do when you get to the very end, and as you're pouring it out, there's a real tarodes of the pure beer with the sediment that remains, and it's just dripping out of the sediment. Isn't that going to be a violation of Borer? So he says, Nitzotzos be'er papa lo chashivi. Once it got to that point where there was like thick sediment and it was just a little bit of dripping coming from it, then they would stop pouring, because by Rav Papa, they didn't have to be makbid on every last drop of beer. The Gemara tells us in a number of places, Mesechs B'Metzia, Mesechs P'sachim, that Rav Papa's business was that they were in beer making. So since they had their own brewery, so it wasn't really so, they weren't so makbid on every last drop of beer, because it didn't really matter so much to them. They had an abundance of beer. We then said in the Mishnah that you could put an egg through a mustard strainer on Shabbos. Tani Yaakov Karcha Lefi She'in Osnosa El Legavin, because the point of it is just to provide color to the mustard, but you don't really need to sort out the egg for a meichel sake, and that for food sake, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Itmar Chadosh Shloshim Erev Shabbos. If you needed some mustard on Erev Shabbos, Lemachar Amarav Memachal Bekli. So when Shabbos comes and you want to prepare it, you can mix it with a kli, like a spoon or something, of a lobiyad, but you're not allowed to mix it by hand, because apparently mixing chardal and the liquids that you want to mix it with is considered like an act of lisha, so you need to do it with a shinoi, you need to do the lush, you need to do the kneading with a shinoi. So when you mix it with a kli, it's not going to mix really well, and that's considered a shinoi, but when you do it biyad, we assume it's going to mix very, very well, and therefore that's not going to be considered a proper shinoi. There is a machlok rishonim, if you could put water into Chardal and Shabbos as well. The sheet of the Rith and the Rush, that Pasuk of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that we have later on, that putting a mashke into a machal is not considered gibel, that will allow putting water into a Chardal, putting water or wine, even on Shabbos. The Balatruma and other Rishonim hold, like a Rebbe that we're going to have later on in a couple of weeks, that putting mayim into flour is considered gibel already. So therefore, they would hold that you're not allowed to put mayim into Chardal and Shabbos either. So says Gemara, Amalei Shmuel, wait a second, this chiluk between yad and kli, biyad, atu kol yomim machle biyad, do you think the whole rest of the week, that's how you do it? You do it by hand? You mix the mustard by hand? Machal chamorim hu. Well, that would be if you're preparing machal chamorim, but if you're preparing food for people to eat, you would never do that. Elam Shmuel memachal biyad, ve'inu memachal bekli. No, you could. We got it backwards. You can only do it biyad. That's not the derech to do it biyad, to mix it biyad, but you cannot do it bekli, because that is the derech. Itmar Reb Lazar Amar Echad Zav Echad Zav Asur. Bein Biyad Bein Bekli It's Asur. Reb Yochanan Amar Echad Zav Echad Zav Mutar. Either way is Mutar. Habay Rav Adam Tavayu. Ein Alach Rav Yochanan. We don't pass on Rav Yochanan who allows Bein Biyad Bein Bekli. So come Rav Yochanan Mishitasi Rav Lazar. Then people started jumping and shifting opinions. So Rav Yochanan then switched to the Shita of Rav Lazar who asks both Biyad and Bekli. Come Rav Lazar Mishitasi the Shmuel. And Rav Lazar changed his mind and followed Shmuel that holds Biyad Mutar and Bekli is Asur. Because Abai Rav Dami Tavayu, Halach Rabbi Yochanan. Both Abai and Rav say that Halach is like Rabbi Yochanan, that you're not allowed to do Pain Biyad, Bain Bekli. Emet Abai, Avdilei, Velo Achala. Abai's adoptive mother prepared mustard for him on Shabbos, and he didn't eat from it because he paskin that it's Asur, Bain Biyad, Bain Bekli. Debitu de Zira, Avdilei, Le Rav Chia Bar Ashi. And one time Zira's wife prepared for Rav Chia Bar Ashi also the same thing, Velo Achal, but he wouldn't eat from it. So I'm relaying. So Zeiri's wife said to Rav Chia Bar Ashi, "L'Rav Chavi Dileva Achal Vato Achalta to Zeiri, who's your Rebbe? I used to prepare this mustard, and he would always eat it on Shabbos. Ah, oh, but you're too frum for you. It's not good enough to be able to eat it." After Zeiri died, apparently she married Rav Chia Bar Ashi, so she knew what it was to be married to a Talmud Chacham. And she says, "You think you're frummer than my first husband? My first husband was a bigger Talmud Chacham than you, and he would eat from it. But now you're not going to eat from it." So Rav Bar Shiva. I was serving Ravina, and I would mix it with a stalk of garlic, and then he would eat from it when it was mixed with a stalk of garlic. We don't pass like any of this. Instead, we pass like what we were taught in the Beis Medrash, that if they already started mixing the mustard and Erev Shabbos, then the next day you can mix it really well, both Biyad and Bekli. And you could add honey to it. You just shouldn't really beat it well and mix it with great kavach the way you would mix a beitza in a plate with a spoon. You just mix it softly. If you have cress that they ground up before Shabbos, the next day you can put oil and vinegar into it, and you can put a certain type of spice which will soon identify. Called Amisa. But you shouldn't mix it really strongly, rather you should just mix it benachas, you should mix it lightly. If you have garlic that was crushed on Erev Shabbos, the next day you could put beans and cut beans into it, but again, don't grind it up really well, you just mix it softly. And then we had said that we just said a moment ago that you could put this spice called Amisa. So my Amisa, what kind of tavlin is Amisa? Ninaya, so it's mint. So we see that mint is good for cress, meaning if I learned nothing else from this discussion, at least I learned a good recipe of how to make my cress, that it's a good idea to put some mint into it. So that's something that we see from here, because otherwise we wouldn't have to be telling what how to do it and how not to do it. So the Tan Rabban also anomlin b'Shabbos, that you're allowed to make this special drink called anomlin on Shabbos, even though it does have therapeutic value, but it's something that healthy people drink as well. Veinos naluntis, but you're not allowed to make a naluntis, which is a drink that's made to cool a person off after he leaves the Beis HaMerchatz and his body temperature is very high. Veizui anomlin, veizui aluntis. What are these drinks? So anomlin is yayin udvash upilpulin. It's wine, it's honey, peppercorn. Aluntis, yayin yashan umayim tzlulin var parsimon. Davdil veinususa lemekar. It's this other type of drink made with a mixture of aged wine and water, clear water and a parsimon that they would make for people who need to cool off after leaving the bathhouse. And even if it was made on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to drink it, because anything that's Mishum Refuah, you're not allowed to take on Shabbos. That's what Mishum Paskins in Simin Shin Yotes, Sifkat 9. So I'm Rav Yosef, Zim Lechada, all this Basar Marukva Lebei Bani. So one time I happened to follow Marukva into the Beis HaMerchatz, Kinafke Asai Ashkiyan Chamrachad Kosa. And when I came out, they gave me one kose of aluntis. V'chashim ibin to the reishiv atufet dekari. It had such an impact on me. I felt it from the hairs on my head to the bottoms of my feet. It impacted my entire body. It's like a magical drink. V'yashkiyam kose achrina, and had I had another drink, havim istafina dilma menaklim yizchus de almadasi. I was afraid that it would take away my zuchuyos in olam haba. So because I was afraid that it would cost me. It's so geshmak. It would cost me my zuchuyos in olam haba. That's how Rashi understands. The Marshal asks on Rashi, how Rav Yosef know that he wouldn't have died if he would have drank another cup? He should have said, "Mistafina demisna," that I would have been afraid that I might die. So he says, Rav Yosef means to say, I was afraid that Yinakalim Yizchiyosi Merov Oneg. Meaning, the question is that's the issue over here. Is it that he was saying that it was going to cost me my Zichuyos and all my bucks because I was going to die on the spot, and therefore I wasn't going to have many more Zichuyos to work on? Or is it that it's so geshmak that this would I would have received schar olam haba in olam hazeh, and that would have been not something that a person doesn't want. V'marukva d'shasi kol yoma. I asked the Gemara, Marukva used to drink aluntis all the time, and it didn't have any impact on him. So shani marukva d'dashbe. Marukva was used to it, and therefore he didn't die from it. He was able to drink as much of it as he wanted. Okay, new Mishnah now. So says Mishnah, ain't shorinus achiltis b'poshri. You're not allowed to soak cress in warm water on Shabbos. Avonos in the tocha chametz, but you could put it into vinegar and you could dip your food into it. Vein sholinus akashin. You're not allowed to soak the kashinun in order that the psolas that's mixed in, the dirt that's mixed in, will float to the top of the water, because that's a violation of borer. Velo shafin osan, and you're not supposed to rub it by hand in order to remove whatever psolas is mixed in with them, because that's also a violation of borer. Avonos in the tocha kvarav olutocha kalkala. But you're allowed to put the kashinun into some type of a basket in order that it should stay there, even though sometimes the psolas falls through the holes of the basket. That's not a violation of borer, because that sort of happens on its own. But to soak it in water, to allow the dirt to rise to the top, and therefore separate the fruit or the vegetable from the dirt, that's a violation of borer. But to just put it in a basket where the dirt falls through the cracks of the basket, that is not a problem. In kovnas tevem bakavari, you're not allowed to put a straw through some type of a sieve in order that the shell fall off so that it doesn't hurt the animal and the animal eats it. So you also can't put it in a very high place where the wind blows very strongly in order that the motes should come off, because that's a violation of merakid. It's a violation of sifting. I will note that you could take the tevin, you could take the straw, but kavara v'nosin etocha evos, and then you could just put it into the feeding trough that the behemoth will eat from, and the even though as you put it into the feeding trough, the motes might fall off on its own. So yibaylu sharamai. What's the halacha if bishogig you went and you were sharachiltis in poshrin? We say now let us soak chiltis in warm water. So what if you did? What does it mean? What if you did? You do tshuva. No, meaning what kind of avera did you do? Did you do an avera d'araisa, an avera d'rabanan? So tirgum ravada garsha kamed rav Yosef shara chayev chatos that you chayev mekabel chatos. Meaning it's nisim d'araisa. Amle abaye el meata shara umtsa b'maya. So if you soak meat in water, raw meat in water, hachi naimi de mechayiv, you're going to say you chayiv chatas? You can't say that. Soaking meat in water is not a malacha. Elam rabbi midrabanan shleyas gedarik shvosa b'chol. No, the issue of soaking the chilt is not the issue of drabanan, so that a person doesn't come to do like he normally would do on a weekday. So that's uvda d'chol. So it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to do anything you do on a weekday, because then you wouldn't be allowed to eat, because you eat on a weekday as well. So that's what the poskim can point out. The Rambam writes in a tshuva that the Chacham say that shlo yasa gederek shlosa b'chol, things that you could have done that are likely to lead to malacha. And again, there are no clear klalim of what kinds of activities are likely to lead to malacha and what kinds of activities are not likely to lead to malacha. But Chazal and the Gedolei Apostolim of each generation sort of figure out what's considered a weekday activity that's going to be more likely to lead to malacha, and they ask for those under the heading, under the category of uvdu d'chol. So Bavin, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yani, can you soak chiltus in cold water? So Amalei Asri says it's Asri. I have anantanani shardus chiltus beposhin. Habitzor mutter. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said you can't soak it in lukewarm water. Sounds like in cold water it's totally mutter. So Amalei imkein ma beli velach. If I don't know how to explain the Mishnah better than you, so then what's the difference between me and you? Meaning, you should realize, I'm the Rebbe, you're the Talmud. So if I say that that's the halacha, then that's the halacha. What do you think? You could question everything. So Masnisa Nichidai, the Mishnah is only following a Das Yachid, the Tanya, because we looked at the Braisa. Ain't sure in the Sechiltus, lo b'chamin v'lo b'tzonin, Rebbe Yonsi Yomer b'chamin also b'tzonin mutter. So where the Braisa says that the Rove opinion is ain't allowed to soak in warm water or cold water. That's why I told you, that's what the halacha is. It happens to be Shitas Rabbi Yossi, that it's only Yasser Beposhrin, but in cold water it's okay. So the Mishnah follows the Das Yachid. Well, why? You think I don't have answers to your questions? So it's a little bit of a strange exchange. It's a fair question to ask when you say something against the Mishnah for the Talmud to say, hey, it's against the Mishnah. So the Rebbe has to give him a whole Musar Shmuz. So that's what the Chavis Yair has in a famous Shuvah in Simur Kufrin Beis. Chavis Yair tries to find every insult in Shas and tries to say why it's not really an insult. Why the Chachavim, of course, so he spoke to each other benachas, and they weren't really speaking in a harsh way toward each other. So the Chavis Yair says over here, it's not derech gaiva, because Rabbi Yanai was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. That's clear in Bambasra, Daf Kufnun Dalit. And the halach is that a Rav is allowed to be mekanter as Talmido based on if he feels that the Talmud is not working hard enough to understand things well. If he feels that the Talmud is being lazy, then the Rebbe's allowed to be a little rough in the way that he talks to his Talmidim, and that's exactly what he was doing over here. That it's not a derech gaiva, it's a derech of a Rebbe to a Talmud. And he says furthermore that had it not been for Rashi, he would have said that it's divrei anava, that he's saying that he was mekabel from his Rebbeim how to explain this Mishnah, but had it not been that he had a Kabbalah from his own Rebbeim, he wouldn't have been any better. Meaning the Talmud asked the question, said, oh, when I was your age, I asked that same question, but Baruch Hashem, I was zochet to great Rebbeim who taught me what the proper approach is. So says Chavis Yair, he knows that that's not Rashi's reading of the Gemara, but he says that's my preferred reading of the Gemara. That he was trying to be mechazik the Talmud, it was derech anava, it was not derech gaiva at all. So the Maya Avdilei, why would they soak chiltus in water? So the Yukra Deliba, apparently it's if a person has a certain heaviness of his heart, it helps to cure it. Rav Acha Bar Yosef Chosh B'Yukra Deliba, Rav Acha Bar Yosef once had this illness, so also came to Marukva, they came to Marukva, Amalei, Zil Shlis Tlasa Tikli Chiltusa, go and drink the weight of three gold coins of chiltus that's soaked in water, b'tlasi yomi in 3 different days. Also lishni chamisha b'shabbos malei shabbos. So he started his regiment of 3 days in a row. He started on Thursday, then the second day was Friday, l'tzafra also shal bei midrasha. And then the third day, he realized, uh-oh, it's Shabbos. You're not supposed to take refor on Shabbos. So he went to ask a shayla in the base medrash. So amalei, tam de bei ravada, marmila tam de bei mar bar ravada, shos adam kavo kabayim ve'inu choshesh. You could drink a kavo kabayim of chiltus that's soaked in water and you don't have to worry. So Amalahu Lishtos Lo Kamibaili. I wasn't asking if I could drink it. I was asking if I could soak it in the water in the first place. Can I prepare it? So Amalur of Chia Baravin Bididiyavu Uvdava Soy Sheilta Luravad Barava. I had the same Shaila and I asked Ravad Barava the Shaila Vilav Biyada. He didn't know the answer. Also Shalte Luravuna. So I went and I asked Ravuna Vamarach Kamarav Shorabitson Maniach Mechama that you could soak it in cold water and then put it in the sun in order to warm it up, rather than soaking it in lukewarm water in the first place. So ask the Gemara, Kaman Deshari, is Rav Matir to soak it in cold water because he holds like Rav Yossi in the Braisa that it was Matir soaking chiltus in cold water, but the Chum would say that you're not allowed to soak it in, but the Chum would say you're not allowed to soak it in cold water? So I feel the man to us. So no, even if you hold like the Chacham that you're not allowed to soak in cold water, that's if you haven't already started your program of this refuah. Here, he already started having on Thursday and then on Friday, and it's a 3-day program. If he doesn't drink it on Shabbos, it's going to be a sakana. So he's allowed to continue his program of taking the medication. Rav Shlomo Kluger in the Sefer HaChaim says that it's morgul b'fi anashim. Everybody knows that if a person begins to be osik and refuos before Shabbos, that he's allowed to continue the program, continue the regimen on Shabbos, and that's something that's yadua l'kol. So he discussed discusses where in the world did everybody get that from. So he says maybe it's based on the assumption that if it's a 5-day program, a 10-day program of medication, you're taking antibiotics on a 10-day. So maybe the assumption is that you would always prepare it in advance, all of the entire, you know, whatever you need for the entire 10 days, and there's a very low risk that it's going to come to tochein, that you're going to come to grind it up, because why would you grind it up? You have it all prepared in advance. But then he suggests maybe it comes from this Gemara, that our Gemara talks about that when he started Thursday and then Friday, then he was allowed to do it on Shabbos as well. The problem is, our Gemara said that the reason he's allowed to do it is mistaken, that it will be a sakana. Sakana sounds like only because it's going to be dangerous, but short of that, it's going to be asr. So the Ran in the Chidushim says, nah, mistaken is avdafka. If it was mamish sakana, you could do whatever you want. You could get in a car and drive to the hospital, you could do whatever you want. You could violate all sorts of Yisurim Daraisa if it's mamish sakana. No, it means he wasn't going to be feeling so well. Rav Eliashiv has a tshuva about this in Kovetz Tshuvas, where someone asks whether our Gemara is the source for that, and he says you don't even need our Gemara, because our Gemara is talking about a case where you're preparing the medication, not just taking the medication. If it's about taking the medication, that's much more kal. So but in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, they quote from Shlomo Zalman that this is only if delaying the medication is going to cause some sort of nezek, or if pausing in the middle of taking the medication is going to cause some sort of nezek, or the medication calls for more than a week straight of taking it. So then, obviously, there must be a Shabbos involved. But if you have a 5-day antibiotic, so do it Sunday through Thursday. Why do you have to take it over Shabbos? That's how Rav Shlomo Zalman understood. Okay, so once we quote this Maisa of Rav Achbar Yosef that relates to our sugya, so another Maisa that happened with him on Shabbos. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, his nephew, used to help him walk. He would support him. When we get to Rav Safra's house, bring me in. So he helped him go into Rav Safra's house. Am I allowed to rub on Shabbos a baguette of pishtan in order to launder it? That's been laundered, because after the laundering, the baguette becomes hard, and when you then rub it, it softens up the baguette, but it also whitens up the baguette. So, do we assume that the primary intention is just to soften it, which you're allowed to do on Shabbos, or do we assume that the primary intention is to whiten it, and that's asr? We assume that your primary intention is to soften it, and therefore it's mutter. So when he came out, he said, "No, what shaila did you ask?" I asked him about rubbing a baguette of pishtan on Shabbos. He said, "You're allowed to do it." Why did you only ask about a pishtan shirt? Why didn't you ask about a turban? No, I already knew the answer to that, because I once asked that shaila to Rav Huna. So why don't you just assume the same halacha that you got by a sudar, the same thing is going to be true by a shirt? By the suda, you're much more makbid that it looks white. So that looks much more like you're trying for the whiteness. But over here, by the shirt, people are less makbid about the whiteness, and therefore I had a suffix that maybe we could be more makil, because maybe the primary intention is to soften it. And that taka was true, that even though the psak he got about the turban was that it's usr, because you're trying to whiten it. It's like malabin, doing the same action on a shirt is going to be mutter, because the assumption is that it's not about being malabin, the assumption is that it's just about softening the clothing. Amrav chista, hai kitonta, if you have a ketonis of pishtan that's laundered, and you spread it out over a stick on Erev Shabbos in order to dry it out, and now you want to take it on Shabbos, so mishalful didom mikanya, you got to take the clothing off of the stick, shari, that's mutter. But kanya mimena asr, to remove the stick from under the clothing, that's going to be asr, because the stick itself is muktza. So amrav avim kli kivayhu, but if the stick is a weaver stick, mutter, then you're allowed to move it, because it's a kli and it's not muktza. Amrav chista, haiki shasa diyarka, if you have a bundle of vegetables that are not ra'oi for a human to eat, so ichazi l'machal behem ashari l'tutule, if it's ra'oi for animal food, so you're allowed to be metalzal on Shabbos, v'ilo asr, otherwise it's muktza. Amar of Chia Barashi Amarav, Hai Tal Yud Bisra, if you have a bundle of salt and meat, Shoy L'Taltule, you're allowed to be metaltule because you can eat it raw when it's salted properly. Tekavri, but if you have fish that's raw, Aser, that's Aser to be metaltule because fish would never be eaten raw. That's the Gemara's assumption always, that people would eat raw meat, they would not eat raw fish. It used to be when I was a kid and you'd learn a Gemara like this, no one would ever eat either of those things. No one would eat raw meat nor raw fish. Then sushi became the most popular Jewish food, and now everyone eats raw fish, and we still thought no one eats raw meat. And then I went to a restaurant, a while ago, before COVID, and they served raw meat also. I accidentally ordered it. I had no idea what I was ordering, and it was disgusting. But apparently it's a very delicious thing that people eat raw meat. So this is something that changes, I guess, over time. But the Gemara always assumes raw meat, yes, raw fish, a person would never eat. If someone stands in the middle of a bed that a man and a wife normally use, it's as if he's standing over the woman's stomach, meaning it's going to lead to hirhurim. But that's not correct. There's no iser to stand there. I saw in one of the achronim in the back of the Masifta, the Pnimei Halacha, he quotes the Knesset, he quotes the Divrei Yecheskel, who says, why would we be docha such a chumrah? We want people to be on a bed that a husband and a wife normally use. So he says that sometimes through a psak halacha we could change a metzius. That the Chacham had such a kalach that by paskening this, they made it that it's no longer going to cause hirhurim, because they pasken that it doesn't cause hirhurim, and therefore they can minimize hirhurim. An interesting concept. He quotes that. That the Kleisenberger paskined that you don't say Birch Sagomel when you fly on a plane to Eretz Yisrael, not say Birch Sagomel. Why? Because by paskening that you don't say Birch Sagomel, it makes it not dangerous. I don't know. That's not the way we normally assess the sugya. We figure out if it's dangerous, and then we decide. But that's the idea that he takes out of this Gemara. Okay, Vamrav Chista, Bar Be Rav, the Zavin Yarki, has a whole bunch of bits of advice for Talmidei Chacham. So if a Talmid Chacham wants to buy vegetables, Lisbon Aricha, Kisha, Kikisha, Vorka Mimela. He should buy the longest bundle because they measure the bundles by the width of the bundle. So if you have longer stalks in the bundle, you're getting more for your money. Most of these things, the Achronim understand, are really bits of advice in Talmud Torah. They're not really market advice, because why would only a Bar Be Rav need advice in the market? But if it's about Talmud Torah, so then you understand. So that's what the Achronim explained. That this is about being zochel gedula, that the yerek is a merami's tamidas hashiflus, and someone who's working on the midah of anava will be zochek to gedula, which is from the lashon of aricha. So kisha kikisha, that even after you're all gedula, you should continue to work on your midah of anivus buorcha memela, and the arichus yamim that will happen in your position of authority, that will happen memela. But a person should constantly be working on the midah of anivus. That's how the Chasam Sofer explains. Barbe Rav de Zavin Kanya, Talmud Chacham, who buys a bunch of reeds for firewood, Lizbin Aricha, he should buy the longer one, because Tuna Kituna, Vorka Mimela. Again, they sell it by the thickness of the bundle, and so all the bundles are equally thick, so the ones that have longer sticks in them, you're getting more for your money. Vamrach, so Barbe Rav de Lanafishale Rifta, if Talmud Chacham doesn't have a lot of bread, Lo Lechel Yarpe, he shouldn't eat raw vegetables, Mishum de Gorer, because it's going to cause him to become more hungry. It's a Gorer of the Taiva, and he's going to want to eat more bread, and he's not going to have any bread to eat. Vamrav Chista, I know lo bani yusi achli yarka, v'lo bati rusi achli yarka. I did not eat vegetables when I was poor, nor while I was rich. Bani yusi mishum degar, when I was poor, because I knew that it would cause me to become more hungry, and I don't have enough food to satisfy that hunger. Bati rusi damina hechadai liyarka leil bisr v'kavri. And then when I was rich, I wouldn't eat vegetables, because why waste the stomach space on vegetables if I could use it to eat meat and to eat fish, and I'll enjoy much more delicious foods, and I could use my stomach space on that. So Ben Yoyada points out that the real reason he didn't want to eat vegetables is because vegetables are full of tolain. They have all sorts of bugs and worms, so he didn't want to get involved in eating vegetables. But he couldn't tell his B'nai Bayis that was the reason, because if he were to tell the B'nai Bayis, they would say, what do you mean? The whole world eats vegetables. We'll clean the vegetables the same way everybody else cleans the vegetables. So he always came up with an excuse. When he was poor, he had one excuse. When he was rich, he had another excuse. But it was just an excuse. He just didn't want to... he was trying to avoid the kashrus problems that you have with vegetables. If a Talmud Chacham doesn't have too much bread, he shouldn't cut up into small pieces. He shouldn't eat just a little bit now and then later on just eat a little bit more. He should wait until he's able to gather a reasonable amount, because if a person eats little by little, he's not going to be satisfied. The Chassam Sofer says this is a tochachas musar about learning. People who don't learn deeply whatever it is that they're learning, they don't learn consistently a single masechta, they pick up a little bit here, a little bit there. So he says, lo lifta mitzue, don't stop in the middle of your learning of a masechta to just pick up another masechta. Make sure you build daf achar daf, that you build up an entire masechta. V'amrav chista, barbe ravdo l'nfisha le'rifta. A Talmud Chacham that doesn't have a lot of bread, lo liftza, he shouldn't be the one to break the bread and divide it out. My time at the lovid v'ayin yafa, because he's not going to do v'ayin yafa, he's not going to give a generous portion. That's what the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Mem Vav tells us. Rabbi Yochanan says that the balabaya should be botzeya. The balabaya should be the one that divides up the bread and gives to everybody, because since he's the one that owns the bread, he can do so ba'ayin yafa. A guest is always going to be nervous. Maybe the balabayis doesn't give him rishus to give out so much. But if you don't have enough, then you should also not be botzeya, because you're going to be too stingy. I used to not cut the bread until I felt the entire basket full of bread. And I found whatever I needed in the basket, then I would be botzeya. If a person can get by eating barley bread, and instead he eats a more refined type of bread, he eats wheat bread, that's a violation of baltashkes. That's what the Marsha points out. All the other memros say a bar be'rav. It's all about the Talmud Chacham. This doesn't say bar be'rav, because this apparently is not just a chumra, it's mitzad adin. It's a violation of baltashkes. Chassam Sofer says, no, it doesn't mention bar be'rav, because bar be'rav cannot eat Pasa Orim, because Pasa Orim is bad for your memory, Chazal tell us. So Bar Be'rav needs to make sure his memory is in tip-top shape, because he is learning Torah all the time, and there's an Isra of Shichas HaTorah. So you wouldn't have such a halacha about someone who could have eaten barley bread. A Bar Be'rav, it's not an option to eat barley bread. V'amra Papa, I'm on the Efshal L'mishti Shichra. If a person could drink beer, V'shasi Chamer, instead he drinks wine, over Mishum Baltashkes. It's violating Baltashkes, because it's more expensive, and he's spending money more than he needs to. V'lav milsi, but what they're saying is not correct. It's not baltashkes. Baltashkes to gufa adif. More important to take care of your body. And if you're doing that which is less healthy, that's also baltashkes. And baltashkes of one's body to eat in a way that's unhealthy. V'amrav chista, bar be'rav de lesle mishka. If a bar be'rav doesn't have oil to rub his hands before Nitilas Mayim Achronim, Nimshi B'mayid Acharitzi. He should wash his hands in the water that's gathered that has moss gathering on them, and it's as if it's like shemen. V'amrav Chisa Barber Rav Dezavon Umtzah. Talmud Chacham who buys raw meat, Lizbin Unka, he should buy the neck of the animal. Dispei Tzlasa Mini Bisra, because there are three types of basar in the neck of the animal. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of Niyim, the Maral says, that all they can afford is one little piece of meat, so there's one piece of the animal that is like three different cuts of meat within that one little piece of the animal. V'amrav chisa barbe rav dezavon kitonisa, a Talmud Chacham that buys a linen shirt, lizban midinahar abba, you should buy it from a place called Nahar Abba, because they have the best linen there. V'nechavra kol tosin yomin, and you should wash it every 30 days, dimifatya le treso yarchishata, and that way he's not going to have to buy another beggar for a whole year, because it's going to last him for that long. Va'na arva, and I guarantee it. My kitonisa, what is a kitonisa? What's the lashon kitonisa? Kitana'a, it means you'll be in good company. That you're going to look so chashuv, they'll see you among the chashuvim, you'll always be in good company. V'yamrav chista, barbe rav l'leisa v'atzivsa chadita, Talmud Chacham shenat zidon, a new reed mat, mechal yamane, because the moisture of it will ruin his clothing. V'yamrav chista, barbe rav l'lishtar mani l'ushbiza l'chavrele, a Talmud Chacham shenat send his begadim to his hostess to wash for him, to lav harecharech the mechazi be'midi v'asid migne, because it's not derecharetz. They might see a stain of keri on the clothing, and that's going to make him look disgusting to the host. Amar Rav Chista lebinte, Rav Chista used to tell his daughters, tavitznias and babi gavreichu, you should always try to be tsenua in front of your husbands. Lo teich l'nahama babi gavreichu, don't eat bread in front of your husbands, because sometimes you're going to overeat and you're going to look disgusting. Lo teich l'nyarku b'lele, don't eat vegetables at at night because it's going to cause bad breath. Lo tichon tamri b'leili, don't eat dates at night. Lo tishon shukra b'leili, nor drink beer at night because that's going to cause you to become very gaseous. Lo tiponun hecha demafni gavreichu, and don't go to the bathroom in the very same place where your husbands are going to the bathroom. V'chikakari abava inish, and when someone knocks at the door, lo temun manu, don't say b'lashon zachar manu elamani, say it b'lashon nekeva, even though there's a very high likelihood that the person at the door is a male, but you're a female, and you should always speak in a way that makes it sound that you're accustomed to talking to other women more so than being accustomed to talking to men all the time. So you should speak in the lashon nekeva to make it sound like that's your normal way of speaking, that you speak to women. Nakan marganisa b'chad yadei, and you should hold the gem, the pearl, have him hold the pearl in one hand, v'kura b'chad yadei, and the kur in another hand. This is a lishna nekiya. It's talking about different parts of the body when she's being intimate with her husband. That he can hold the dadim with one hand, and he can hold also makom with the other hand. Marganisa achvilahu, and the dadim she should to be marbe his taiva, to get him going. She should show it, expose that to him sooner. V'kura lo achvilahu, but also makom she shouldn't be so quick to reveal to him. Adamitztarin, until his taivas are very much built up. V'hadar achvilahu, and then she should make it available to him. Ain sholin es hakarshinin. We don't soak the karshinin, but we put it into a basket of some sort, the Mishnah had said. So masnisin deloki atana. So our Mishnah seems to be against the following braisa. The time of Lozman Yaakov Omer, ain mashkichim bekavra, kol ikar, that you don't use a kavra at all. So in our Mishnah says that you're allowed to put the karshinin into a kavara. Says the Mishnah, garfin milfnei apatam, you could sweep out the trough from the animal that you're trying to fatten on Shabbos, umasaltin tzadin. You could also move the straw from in front of the shor to the sides where there's too much of it, mnei, so that he doesn't trample it with his feet, and he's gonna ruin it. Divrei Rabbi Dosa, from the chum aser, these things, one or the other. We just said two different activities. The Gemara is going to discuss which thing the chacham maser. Notam lefnei be'mezub, notam lefnei be'mezub b'Shabbos. You're allowed to take barley and straw from in front of one animal and put in front of another animal on Shabbos, and we don't assume that that's called that you're being metaltal something that's not ro'i and it's a tiltal shlol tzarech. No, it is ro'i because the behema is not going to be disgusted by a food that was taken from in front of another animal. Okay, we'll stop there. And Bez Hashem, well, tomorrow Shabbos, so we're not going to have a shir tomorrow. And Bez Hashem on Sunday, we'll pick up with Daf Kuf Mem Beis. I'll probably pick up with the new parak on Sunday. We'll pick up a notal adam espinova evan biyadu kalkala. It's done.
Have a good Shabbos.
Take care, Rabbi. Shabbos shalom.